Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
Voices, animal voices, the tremble of cold, the feminine abyss, and reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind.
Tainted meat! You're eating tainted meat! Ha ha! Ha ha! Oh, yeah! Hi, EW, how's it going?
I know why you're doing that.
Why?
I know why you're doing
it. Do you even know what the reference is to the reference?
Spoiler alerts!
Hey, there's no spoiler alerts yet until I actually start talking about it. Okay? But there will be spoiler alerts because, oh my goodness gracious me, am I ever enjoying the heck... See? Jack knows. Enjoying the heck out of Season 5 so far in Walking Dead. And we're only 3 episodes in.
Yeah, and there's already controversy over cancellation and a character being dead.
Well,
and I don't mean the character in the show. I mean the actual actor.
Oh, which actor died now?
Apparently, Radis passed away.
That's a joke. It's not really. He hasn't really passed away.
No, he hasn't. But he did actually create somewhat of a controversy because he does not want the writers to make his character gay.
Who the hell's... Okay. I hope to God they don't because...
I read about that last season, that they were getting ready to probably bring in that his character isn't straight. And apparently he's got a huge women following.
He's got a humongous women following. Every single woman who watches that show is like, oh, Daryl's my favorite.
Right?
My womb would explode if I saw him holding a baby. Oh, he's holding the baby. Kaplow!
Well, they said that, basically what he did is he went to Twitter and started telling everyone that no, he did not pitch a fit, but he does not want his character to be considered gay. He's already pleaded with the creators because of that particular fact. So he has cleared up some of it, but some of it's still held within... What do you believe?
Okay. A lot of it sounds like Hollywood posturing and BS, and I'm not going to believe a bit of it. I know that the writers are not going to suddenly make, oh, look, he's gay. That would be retarded on a level of retarded that is like, okay, did you see the... Oh, no. Miscellaneous fact. Did you see the rocket shuttle that blew up there the other day?
Wow, we just went to a sidetrack, didn't we? Yes.
Did you see that, though?
Yeah.
That's the level of retarded that would be. Just so we're all on the same page there on that.
Right.
Okay? Because it's one thing to say, okay, let's go into Iron Man here for a second. It's one thing to say, let's make Tony Stark Iron Man, the billionaire, dilettante, hey, he rouses all the sexy women. He's going to be gay. You could say he's always been hiding something and overcompensating. It's an easy storyline to buy into. Thinking Daryl...
Showed him in a relationship yet either.
He's all of his relationships have always failed. Every single one is a character for like the 25, 30, 40, 50 years that he's been a comic book. Every single one of his relationships fail. Mm-hmm. Therefore, maybe he's just not in the right kind of relationship and suddenly he develops, hey, look, I'm gay. You know, that kind of thing. That can happen. Yeah. It actually does happen a lot. Whatever. Shit's cool.
I mean, it's going to be what it is, you know, and like Lindsay says in the chat room, you know, Matt Bromer, he's got women still drooling over him, and he's openly gay. God, how long has people drooled over Ricky Martin before they found out he admitted it?
How long were people drooling over Bob Halford from Judas Priest?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not a matter of whether he's openly or not open. It's like, dude, if you don't know what gay looks like, that's what gay looks like. And that's been like from the 70s.
Do you think there would have been a mass suicide if they found out that George Clooney might have been gay?
Who cares?
Yeah, I'm just wondering.
I'm sorry. The whole, is he gay or not? Or is she gay or not? Or are them as a group gay or not? Who really cares? The reality is it doesn't matter. Everybody should be free to be whoever they are, whether or not, as long as they're not really screwing around with somebody else that doesn't want to be. There's a story going on recently about a Canadian broadcaster. I'm not going to go into it. I'm not going to name names or whatever, but it's about rough sex, about whether it's consensual or whether or not consent doesn't necessarily imply that it can or cannot be an illegal act if indeed you create a violent act as a result. And realistically speaking, if two people consent to doing whatever the hell they want to do in the privacy of their own home, as long as they're not really hurting somebody, who cares? I don't care. If somebody's gay, straight, or left hanging on a squirrel nut, I could care less. It's not my problem. It's not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I agree with you. I mean, it's the person's choice, and we're really not the place. It's not our place to judge them. And
even stating that it's a place or to place to judge or not to judge is defeating the purpose of it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Whoever and whatever a person is, that is who and whatever they are. Whether they believe it or choose it or just happen to be it, that's their deal. I don't have to be a part of that. I don't have to be afraid of that. I don't have to involve or incorporate any of that. That's that person's being. And realistically speaking, I have no desire whatsoever to change that person, to either make them gooder or worse. It's their life. If they ask me to help, I help. If they don't, I'm not about to hurt.
Well, I'm not going to hurt either. I mean, it's not, like I said, it's not my place.
So I have the whole thing about that whole thing is like, nah, live and let live, man. Everybody is whatever they is. Everybody who's alive, food for the zombie. That's all that matters.
Yes. The weak die first. Oh, wait.
No, actually they don't. Do you know why the weak don't die first?
Why is that?
Because they don't charge in. The strong charge in.
That's a good point, yeah.
I know. The weak will actually survive a lot longer than a lot of the strong. Because a lot of the strong, they believe, I'm strong. I'll survive. Hey, guess what? 50 zombies in front of you, one guy, you're dead.
Yeah.
Dinner time. Ding, 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 ding. But, okay, so we're going to do our normal show today, and then right after the break, we're going to get into some big news stuff.
Big news stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so at the beginning of the show, I want to talk about some stuff, and one of the things I want to talk about is Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
I love what they're doing in The Walking Dead. As I've always said about the show, this is the type of show that you can take character development and you can push it to the limit and then you can kill somebody and it's still a great show because the show is going to continue to evolve and develop and the stories and the characters and everything is going to continue to go choosh. Now, in the storyline they've gotten right now, they've got a split in the teams again. And this will allow them to do for the next season to have, hey, story on that side, story on this side, story on that side, story on this side. And then at some point they may or may not get back together again, right? That's a pretty cool way to do the stories. But it's ultra-violent right now.
Hmm.
These last three episodes have been... And by the way, this is me talking without actually throwing in any real... spoiler alerts yet, but I will soon. It's been extremely violent. Some of the depictions of life in this future, messed up kind of apocalyptic universe world is extraordinarily... Whoa, dude, really? They went there? That's freaking awesome. So, I mean... I want a spoiler alert.
Do it.
Okay. So the scene in episode 1 where they slice the guy's throat out and bleed him out to feed the cannibals. Dude. Freaking nuts. That was like, oh my god, I can't believe they just did that on TV. They have douche. And last night's show? Okay, so you know Rick? Rick's upset that these guys tried to kill his people and him. It's like, dude, that's not cool, man. You get them back in the crossfire where it's like, okay, you guys just tried to do some stuff. Well, they kind of ate a bit of Bob. The people who in the chat room who've watched it, they know what that ring refers to. Bob was awesome in this couple of episodes, by the way. Totally freaking awesome. Nailed it. Bang on. Loved him. I didn't like him in season 4 because I thought he was kind of boring and kind of middling and muddling and meh, and he just wasn't going anywhere. He'd kind of be one of those, hey, look, Patsy slash, oh, we're going to just lay all the blame on his feet because he's like one of those tragic guys. He's like, no, eh. So, yeah. But this last two episodes, oh, dudes, seriously messed up. Love it. But last night's episode, there's a scene where Rick, the other guy, Michonne, whatever, got these other guys, hey, we just beat you, haha, you guys were a bunch of ding-dongs, and they just pound the frack out of them with a machete. They slice and dice, and oh, look, got blood and guts all over the place.
That works.
See, Lindsay watched the show as well. She got the reference to Bits of Bob. Bob, and this is a quote, by the way, Bob, you really should take some pride in this. We really didn't think you were going to taste this good.
Mm.
The way that's delivered is completely hilariously deadpan perfect. Cannibal guy is awesome. I don't know what his name is. I don't really care. But he's awesomely... You don't like him. You instantly, immediately can't stand his guts because they're probably spoiling around with a whole bunch of other people's inside of him. It's so freaking awesome. And I can understand that this is going to be, I've already seen one or two people say this, like, yeah, I can't watch the show anymore. It's too intense. It's like, that's okay. I'll watch it. But this is why I enjoy what the show is doing. It is evolving in a way that allows it to change and maintain still a sense of continuity. Like this one scene in the episode is straight from the comic book.
Oh, nice.
Okay. It's not the same character, but the scene when them sitting around the campfire eating a bit of, hey, Bob, lying there, his legs chopped off. You can see that his leg's been chopped off, and they're eating bits of his leg. Okay. That's straight from the comic book. But the amount of time they spent on Terminus is like, okay, this is not as much as they did in the comic book. They spent like a whole 7 or 8 issues on the comic book. Like, bam, in and out in the TV series. So things have developed and gone where they are, and I expect a serious change in the way, in the storyline, what goes on in that. And that makes me very, very happy.
Did I understand right that Carol is back?
Carol is back. She came back in the last couple of... Oh, dude. You haven't seen season 4 either?
Well, I saw when Rick made her leave.
Okay, so you didn't see all of season 4.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Carol came back last season.
Why do you think I said that she's back? But yeah.
Dude, did you see the Lindsay? Look at the flowers. Look at the flowers, Lindsay.
Mm.
Did you see that episode?
Was that this? Not this season. You're talking last season.
That's last season, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Okay. That's one of my favorite episodes in The Walking Dead ever.
Wow.
That little girl with the other little girl is like, damn. You know, that's one of those seriously messed up moments in TV watching. It's like, shit, I didn't know they could do that on TV.
Well, if you remember, right after that episode, you and I talked about it on the show, and we were talking about how that was actually supposed to supposedly lead to a spinoff.
It was potentially supposed to lead to a spinoff. Whether it does or not, I don't know. It's the way the TV land goes. Who knows what the hell they're doing? Last night's episode left it open for the possibility for the spinoff to happen, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, so they're probably going to keep hinting to that to get people riled up for it.
Assuming that they really are going to have a spinoff.
I mean, I would hope they would. If you see the popularity that you got going on now, what would the spinoff be like? More than likely the same thing. So why not jump on that?
Could be a loner walk.
Yeah.
I mean, Carol is, oh, I don't want to talk about it. I just survived. Yeah? Yeah, I just survived. That's it. Okay. So, yeah. Okay. That's fine. You had mentioned last week that I was going to say something about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Did I say it was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Was it Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Flash?
I think it was Flash, is what I said.
Okay, I didn't see the episode of Flash yet.
So, well, it's another week.
Yeah, it's fine. But I did see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
I am enjoying where they're going this season.
Mm-hmm.
I now take back what I said what Skye's father is. He is not a Kree.
No?
No, he's still human. But he might be a human half-breed.
Well, so I was kind of leaning towards that, but you really need to watch this week's episode, too.
I know, and I will see it, but I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah. They don't really say more about what he is, but they do talk a little bit about that village that you've heard where they found her at.
Mm-hmm.
And I do mean a little bit.
See, I like the ending of the episode before that, episode 5, where it's like, yeah, I think we got a common enemy here, you know, this Phil Coulson guy. I'm going to show you how to communicate with this object, and then, you know what? What the hell? Let's just kill them all.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. That was hilarious. But, yes?
You know, they are going... I think what I did like was about the episode that you're talking about, where they ended with... God, I forgot her name now. The new girl they brought in. Well... Technically, he's been with them, but, you know...
Oh, yeah. The girl who rescued Skye from... Fitz from Hydra's Clutches.
Yes.
I like her.
And she happens to be the ex of the episode.
It's like, do you remember all of his stories about his super bitchy ex-girlfriend? Yeah. That's her. What? Why did they bring me back? I vouched for you. Why the hell would you do that?
Keenan's telling me I should spoil it. I should go ahead and say what happened on this episode last night.
No!
Why not?
I don't want to know about it. That's what I got to say to that.
It was so good. It was perfect.
I know, and I'll watch it.
God, what happened? You know what I mean? No, it really was good. They introduce... Ward's brother.
Yeah, but they...
They didn't introduce him before. They've talked about him vaguely.
They flash back to him a number of times in the well and the whole, hey, who beat who and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't really want to know about Ward's brother. I don't think it's relevant. Like, as part of the story.
It is this time, apparently, because they're, you don't know who's telling the truth and who's not.
Well, see, that's kind of what I've always been suspecting about Ward. It's like, oh, maybe you've been really misinterpreting who was doing what and whether or not somebody was beaten up on somebody or you were beaten up on somebody or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got bored with his story.
Well, and that's kind of where it went to this time. It
was, figures.
Yeah, I mean, the brothers... I didn't know the brother was a senator. They kept talking about a powerful senator with deep pockets, and it turns out to be Ward's brother.
Hmm.
And I guess
Hail Hydra.
Yeah, I guess I should have seen that coming, though.
Yeah, but did you watch Constantine?
I did watch Constantine, and I bet you didn't think I was going to say I watched Constantine.
Ha!
Okay.
I loved it. Like, I really liked what they did to the episode. A little bit of a couple of things that I nitpicky on.
I think you're going to go at the same thing I'm going to go at. Go for
cigarettes?
It. Cigarettes? He didn't smoke, yeah.
Not a single one.
That's right. He sure didn't.
He keeps playing with his lighter. It's like, yeah, yeah, okay, plays with a lighter. Yeah, yeah, plays with his lighter. Yeah, yeah, plays with his lighter.
He even uses it to fight that demon.
Well, yeah, and also to the tail end with the fire hands.
Yeah, that one.
Which I like that scene. But what I really liked on the exit scene there was, yeah, nobody would be interested in my life. I was just, and then there's this chick fervently drawing pictures of him in the scene that he's doing right there, and there's like pans out to a whole bunch. It's like, oh, geez, that's going to be cool if that figures in the way I think it does. It's like, that would be neat.
Do you know who it's supposed to be?
Who what's supposed to be?
The person drawing the pictures?
No.
Damn. I was... see, that's what I was hoping I was going to get an answer today.
Oh, no. It could be any of a number of characters. I mean, I would be surprised that it's not a character they're designing just for the show. But I don't know if you picked up on it. Did you see the one scene where the girl, I can't remember her name, picks up this goldish-looking helmet? Oh, don't put that down. You don't want to play with that.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what that is?
No, I don't remember.
Dr. Fate's helmet.
Which ones?
Dr. Fate.
Oh.
Dr. Fate is a DC hero that basically sidesteps reality and has magical powers up the yin-yang.
Ooh.
And it opens up the opportunities like, well, let's introduce the Spectre. Let's introduce the Phantom Stranger. Let's introduce the DC characters I actually like because they're creepy as hell.
Right.
Awesome. Now, I really like the way Constantine, the guy, played him. Great, straight, British, you mate, kind of style of character. It's like, this was just bang on the way I would want to see a Constantine.
Mm-hmm.
I was disappointed about the cigarettes, even though I'm completely against smoking. But the character, Constantine, smokes like a son of a gun.
Yeah, he was practically a walking chimney. I think they even called him that a few times.
Precisely. It's like you see every issue he's in, there's always at like 3 or 4 panels out of 5 where he's got a cigarette lit and going. I got a big kick out of the fact that he signs himself into a mental hospital. It's like, all right, sure, I don't buy that, but if he was undercover looking for something, sure, I'd buy that.
But it was a backstory that made no sense. I mean, it's like, if you're going to give that backstory, you've got to get deeper into it. And they just kind of hinted at it a few times, and then, you know, the one scene, I was like, that's garbage. You can't backstory like that.
Yeah, it was a very fluffy, very light treatment for, hey, let's just forget backstory. Let's just throw him in and get him doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What? No.
Yeah, well, then in that case, they should have never even put that part of the story in.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of hard to really go on, because on the one hand, you're dealing with cable TV, so you can't really push the boundaries too much.
Right.
Well, you can, but it's kind of hard to do it and still be able to get away with being broadcast on TV. If it was a cable, if it was a pay TV show, an HBO show, or whatever, they could get away with it. But I'm willing to bet that because they're on regular cable or whatever, there are a lot of rules that they still have to abide by, and I'm guessing smoking is one of them. I would be very surprised if there's going to be any nudity in the show. It's like, okay, that's fine. I don't have to have naked chicks on every episode. That's always good, but never necessary. It's just, they have to make it gritty. And the show has the potential to be really cool from what I've seen so far. It's got that, yeah, he can be gritty. Yeah, we can buy into that. But they really got to make him go down that dark path.
Do you think they're going to make him go down that path, though?
I think they're going to touch on the dark path, and then they're going to be, oh, look, suddenly, yeah, you know, I've got all that darkness inside. You can see it. See? And then never really touch too deep into it.
See, and that's what I'm afraid of, I think. And this is not an uncommon thing to be heard of from NBC, because, you know, other shows they've actually had that they did similar stuff, such as, what's his name, The Dresden Files.
Dude, Brimstone.
Yeah, I mean,
that show had the potential. Well, actually, that show was much better to represent the Constantine-style character, because that's what it was. And it was much grittier and dirtier and darker. And those, look at all those really cool things. The one discussion between the demon and the angels, like, wow, dude, that's intense. That is where they need to go with Constantine.
Did you recognize the angel?
Which angel?
In Constantine?
Yeah, I just don't remember who he was. I've seen his face before.
Yeah, you've seen it quite a few times. Yep. And I want to say, oh man, I just had it where he was at last time.
You would be wrong.
Yeah, probably at this moment.
Do you know why you'd be wrong?
Why?
I don't know. I'm just saying, you would be wrong.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me why.
Well, his name is Harold Perrineau.
Yeah, he's been in quite a few television shows. Yes. I want to say Lost, but I can't remember if that was him.
No, he wasn't in Lost.
Okay.
Sons of Anarchy he's been in.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the other movie.
Blade.
Was he in Blade, really?
He was in Lost.
Okay, he was a guy.
He was Michael Dawson. He was in 62 episodes.
Yeah.
Son of a biscuit. Wait. Was he the one with the son? He was the one with the son.
That kept getting lost?
That kept getting lost or abducted or estranged. Yeah, that was him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. What else? What else was he in? He's in a bunch of things. Oh, he's in Oz. Yeah, no, I remember. I recognized him right off the bat. I just didn't really know who he was off the top. He was in The Cosby Show? All right.
Tell me he wasn't the little kid that was in love with Rudy.
I don't know. He was like in one episode.
Oh, never mind.
The Dead End Kids Meet Dr. Lotus. I don't even remember what the hell that was.
I don't either.
So I'm not even going to bother concerning myself with. So, yes, I liked Constantine. It's got some good potential. I hope very much that it goes into a wonderful depiction of the dark side of DC stuff. And in this Constantine has the potential for them to actually bring in all of the magic side of DC's universe, which would be cool.
Speaking of, I have to say it because I know you're going to miss out on this since you're running out of time for it.
How am I running out of time? I still got a whole half an hour.
Well, you said you had something new for the other half hour.
It's probably going to be in the other half an hour.
Really?
Maybe.
If I put it in a little chat, are you going to tell me
that? Pop it there and I'll tell you if it's going to be in there.
Okay.
Do-dee-doo-dee-doo-dee-doo. Yes, that's going to be in there.
Oh, okay. I'll hold it back then.
Okay. That's good, because otherwise I have to put the smacking down on you.
Yeah, because, I so totally want to discuss that.
Oh, we're going to. So, before we go to there, though, and before we get to intermezzo time, I've watched one movie this week.
Yes.
It's called Snowpiercer. So, this is and just for those of you who have not been aware of it, you should watch it. It's actually pretty good. Chris Evans from Captain America, he was in it. Tilda Swinton, she was in it. John Hurt's in it. A few other people, a bunch of other people. There's a lot of good names actors in there. It is a post-apocalyptic world in which the entire planet is basically frozen. It's in a state of glacial ice age type thing, artificially created because man likes to mess around with stuff. Gosh darn it. So what happens is the remaining, or what they're showing as the remaining survivors of humanity, are on this train that is essentially circling the whole planet one time per year. Because the guy who's the inventor, creator of this train was a little eccentric and wanted to make this train such that A, it could be self-sufficient, B, that the people on the train could have an enjoyable period, and that it would take an entire year to go around the planet and make a complete rotation sort of thing. It's through a very convoluted, hey, the train goes down that way, then goes over this way, goes around these mountains, goes over that way, goes through there, blah, 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 whatever. Now, 18 years has gone past since the planet has frozen over, and 18 years, these people are on this train.
Wow, that's too long to be on a train.
It's a big train. It's a really big train, so I don't know, there's probably like maybe about 5,000 or 10,000 people on this train. That's a lot of people on a train. Really big train. So what it is, it's the classic class struggle of those who are in first class, those who are the peons that just sort of, we need to get on the train at the very end before the planet kind of froze. Because apparently it froze in like a couple of days. So it was a very short period of time for them trying to get into it. Yep, winter is coming on a train, Jack. It's an intense story. It's got all of the big story elements of social change, evolution, all this other stuff. The one really cool thing I thought I liked and then thought, that's just not realistic, but they did that really cool, is that the one punishment for the one guy they were doing is they put this clamp around his arm, then they stick his arm outside the door, and it's flying around out in the cold, and it's like, oh yes, sir, at this elevation, we'll need precisely 7.3 minutes. Okay, we're going to talk now for 7.3 minutes. You people are bad. This is not really good. Hey, we are the blah, 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 blah. And his arm is outside in the cold. They bring it back in. It's all frozen. And they smash it with a mallet.
Hmm.
So, yes, it's like the Polar Express meets Mad Max.
Yeah.
Pretty much what it is. That's pretty much how the movie goes. And it was really one of these weird, wow, I got to think about this some.
It's interesting. What's it called again?
Snowpiercer.
Hmm.
Spelt like this. And it came out on DVD and Blu-ray last week.
Hmm.
One of the reasons why I saw it, because it was available to get.
I'm going to have to do some research.
Look up the trailer. It's actually pretty neat. So did you watch any good movies this week?
I actually just did a rerun. It was funny because I watched it before Lindsay's show yesterday. And so she talked a bit about it. But I watched Odd Thomas again. I had to go back and watch it again. First of all, the guy who stars in it is Chekhov in the new Star Trek movie. So if you remember who that kid is.
Yep.
Okay. And he does not have the accent in this.
Of course not. He does not speak with funny Russian kind of Polish accent like he does in TV, in movies.
But you keep expecting it at certain...
But it is not his natural accent. He's actually a very American-sounding accent.
Yeah. But he's a darn good actor. In this film, if nobody's seen it yet, his actual name is Odd, and he kind of says where it gets that. But
it's a British name.
He's a detective, in a sense, but for the dead. He can see the dead, and he sees these... one particular class of creatures.
I have seen the trailer for that.
Called Bodax. And those things are interesting. But, yeah, there's some great effects in here. And, I mean, the film is really good. And I'm hoping the way they end it, I'm hoping it leads to more films of that.
Nah, it won't.
Well, I don't know. I mean... I'm not going to give the ending away, but I will say that he does mention the place that he wants to go to, or well, kind of avoided to go to, because he was afraid it would kill him.
Yeah. And,
you know, but they do take him there, and I will tell you what, it would make me wonder what happens next. You know, and so they leave it on a good hanging point. But
oh, I'll tell you what happens next.
Nothing.
Everybody dies.
Yeah, there you go.
That means it's time for the intermezzo time.
Well, we shall do it.
Intermezzo.
We will push the button so the whistle can go.
Button. was from Kill Bill, because I really like that song. But we're going to get to the very, 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 very important part of today's discussion that I, as a comic book geek, have to talk about. Marvel has announced their Phase 3 lineup of movies. I am very pleased. Oh. I'm going to watch all of these movies, probably in the freaking cinema, and probably on release date. If you don't know what movies I'm talking about, we're talking about Captain America 3, Civil War,
yep.
Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, yep. Thor, Ragnarok, Black Panther.
I didn't see that one. I missed that one of all this list.
Oh, I've got the whole list here. Black Panther.
Yep.
Captain Marvel.
Yep.
Inhumans.
Yep.
And then a two-part movie, Infinity War for the Avengers.
Yep.
Good God, Googa Mooga Mooga, Wooga Looga Looga. I am very happy boy with all of this crap coming out. So let's start with the first bit. Iron Man and Captain America, Civil War. It is confirmed that Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans will be doing this movie, and they will also be introducing the Black Panther, which is awesome for the Marvel Universe, because T'Challa represents an entire nation of forward technology-type people that is... got some awesome potential for development and storylines and whatever. And just having Captain America and Iron Man together in the whole Civil War concept of registration, freedom of personal choice, registration, freedom of personal choice. And it's like, this is going to be a clash between Captain America and Iron Man, which is like cookies and donuts and cream of American societal culture type stuff. That is going to be freaking awesome.
Oh, I was even more amazed that they were able to convince Robert Downey Jr. to do it, because he was hanging up the hat from the last I heard.
But this was the whole point that he'd made the little comment out, I will do Iron Man 3 if, who was directing it? He quipped off with somebody. Crap, I can't remember who it was.
So you think this was a hint to what was coming?
Yes, totally.
I mean, it makes sense.
Totally.
You can't... I mean, it's just like... Well, not that I'm trying to take us off topic, but just this as an example.
What? You're taking us off... That's it. Smack you.
But, you know, you can't change...
I got 7 movies to talk about here.
You can't change a character, you know, especially one that you've got this nice little rolling bit going. Like, they keep changing the Spider-Man, or they keep changing Batman.
Well, you know? See, that's why Sony keeps failing with Spider-Man. They keep changing him up, and it's not the problem is not the guy playing Spider-Man. The problem is the storyline they keep exploring. And they keep exploring. It's like, well, we want to make it different. How about you make it a little bit the same so that people can get behind it?
Well, I will say I like this guy as Peter Parker. He makes a better Peter Parker.
I didn't mind him as Peter Parker, the current guy. I don't mind him. He's actually okay.
But back to...
Captain America and Iron Man.
Yeah. Man, Civil War. Do you know how many people were begging for this one to happen?
Me?
Only one?
I think Civil War was one of the best Marvel Comics crossover events that they ever did. Because the whole concept of it was, okay, now this leads into, for the last 30 years, Marvel has been talking about this whole Days of Future Past thing from the X-Men, where the future is all mutants are in concentration camps, and it's like, it's all bad, 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 bad. The Civil War leads up directly to that, you know? But then Marvel wussed out at the end of that. It's like, let's like not worry about it anymore. Everything's fine. Now we have the Skrull crawl invention. Crawl invasion. It's like, really? See, this is the problem I have with Marvel as a comic book series, is they do this big thing, and then they let it fall down, and they do another big thing, and then they let it fall down, and then they do another big thing, and after a period of time, people get tired of that crap.
Right.
But the movie, it's going to be a one-shot movie. It's going to be awesome. And then, Doctor Strange.
One I've been waiting for.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Who better?
Well, I'm sure there's other people who could do it as well, but he looks good in that role. He's got the right amount of snarky. He's got the right amount of body posturing that can says, yeah, dudes, I'm the doctor that can fix shit. Wait, I just broke my hands, and now I'm not a doctor anymore. What the hell? Wait, I can make magic shit? Ooh, okay. I think he'll pull that role off.
Oh, definitely.
And then, Guardians of the freaking Galaxy. The one that actually has established that... And this is what I've been saying ever since the announcement for Guardians of the Galaxy came out, the first one. It's like, this is going to be the movie that will define whether or not Marvel can actually make the money, make the bank, in doing movies like this with the characters that they have. They have all these awesome characters, little niche characters that do all sorts of odd things that are in different kinds of elements and different kinds of ideologies and social strata, like Black Panther. Black Panther is a character I've always actually rather liked. It's a really neat kind of design for what he represents and everything. So that's not going to appeal to everybody, but it's going to appeal to enough people that I think they can fill enough seats to make that movie successful. And I think it'll be done well. And as if it's done well, that just continues to reinforce that all the other movies that can be done will be done good. And this is what I think really screws up between and disconnects between the Sony, Fox, and whatever else setup for Spider-Man, X-Men, and what's the other one? Fantastic Four. Where they fail is that they're going to try and say, we're going to change it all up and make it all different, whatever. It's like, but you can't. When you do that, all you're doing is really is pissing off all the fans, and then if you're not making it cool enough, you're not bringing in new fans. And that's what Avengers did. Oh, by the way, to answer Lindsay's question, we're looking at the final movie I talked about is 2019. That's where the Marvel's Avengers Infinity War. We start with 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, and 2019 for these movies.
Yeah, so basically, they're coming out each year, so you're not going to be missing.
There's going to be like about two each year sort of thing.
Yeah, see, I could go for that.
And that's fine. I mean, you can't have too many movies in one year.
I don't know. I do know.
This is what kills it. This is what this year has been bad for, is that there are too many movies, big budget, tentpole movies, like they like to call them, came out this year. It's like, I can't go to the theater to see them all. I wanna, but I can't, so I'm not gonna.
But they make more of their money on the DVD sales. Well, unless they, like, totally rock the box office on opening night.
No. The theaters is actually a cost.
Yes, but opening weekend, one thing about that is there's a certain dollar amount that the company who designs the advertising, they get to recoup, and the theaters make so much as well. But once that dollar, that cap is reached,
all of it's gravy.
The rest becomes profit but only on that opening weekend.
Yep.
And so in this particular case, we've seen not once but twice Marvel hits home runs doing that with both the Avengers.
Three times.
Oh yeah, that's right. I missed that one. But I mean, this is what we're seeing. And so, do they think they wouldn't make a home run if they did two of those back to back or three of those back?
Two in a year, no problem.
Yeah.
Well, if they were to release all of these movies in the same year, they would lose money. Because not everybody's going to go see them all.
Yeah, this is true.
They would all wait until it was on DVD or Blu-ray or whatever to watch. And it's like, oh, okay, fine, I'll watch it that way.
Anyway, sticking with the math of people usually go watch two movies, at least.
They say 2 to 5.
Yeah.
And that would fit with me, too, because I will go to watch to a theater 2 to 5 movies a year. Because I'm not a big... Well, sorry, I go to the rep theaters as well because they don't cost much, but I'm not going to go to first release opening movie nights a lot because I just don't like to deal with the crowd. That's insane most of the time. So I say, screw that. I'm going to read a quote here.
Okay.
This is from Marvel.com, and this is about the Doctor Strange movie. In the Marvel Cinematic Universe version of the supernatural that involves everything from quantum mechanics to string theory, the idea in this film is to open up a whole new corner of the cinematic universe. We want to enter, through Strange, the world of parallel dimensions. Dude, this allows them to do all kinds of parallel universes and opens up the ability to say, yeah, you know what? You know that Iron Man you had over here? Guess what? He's now gay. Here's the version of this Iron Man from this side of the universe.
Hey, and look, over here, Thor has tits.
Precisely. Don't be afraid if that movie comes out, because I will not watch it.
Why does it scare me that that might actually happen?
So, Thor is the next movie in the 2017 movie release. Ragnarok. And the byline, tie-line, or whatever in this is, Ragnarok is the end of all things.
Oh,
And that's it. That's what they're really talking about. It doesn't really go into anything. But that movie is going to take on right after Avengers Age of Ultron. And it's going to be the kind of things like, oh, I'm willing to bet that Thor is got to go on his lone little quest all by himself and find himself again after, I don't know, maybe all of Asgard dies and has to be reborn. Because that's part of the Ragnarok mythos.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you watch the trailer of Avengers this week, Thor had somewhat to worry.
yeah, whatever. So, we've already talked a little bit about Black Panther. I'm really looking forward to that one, too, because that allows us to see, well, we're talking about a character that fits into the visible minority range. That will be awesome, because by doing that, if that what does well, it opens up the opportunity for all kinds of character racial types to be used in movies and say, hey, solid. Which leads me into the next one, Captain Marvel. They have confirmed that Captain Marvel is Carol Danvers. Woman, look at that. Woman, lead character actor, actress, woman. DC, bite me. Okay? This is what pisses me off about DC and their movies. Like, dude, Wonder Woman is an awesome movie to be all on her own and be a freaking strong character.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, Jack, they do actually have the name. They have a person for Black Panther. His name is Chadwick Boseman. Boseman? I'm not sure how that's pronounced, but I'm pretty sure it's Boseman.
I remember seeing this picture. I couldn't remember.
He looks the part. He looks good as the part.
Yeah. But I don't. Do you remember anything that he's been in?
Oh, crikey. You actually want me to. I'm sure he probably has. IMDb. Let's see. Yes, he's been in some stuff. Let's see. What's he been in? He's going to be in the Civil War. Okay, whatever. Let's go back all the way back. He's been in All My Children.
Sorry, don't
Third Watch. Law and Order. Ladylike. I don't know what that is. CSI New York. The Appointment. The Express. ER. Cold Case. Lie to Me. Lincoln so Heights.
He's more familiar with TV.
He's a TV person, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is probably going to be his big breakout movie role. And this is what I like what Marvel does with some of their characters. Don't bring in the guy who's like $20 million a movie, he's awesome, famous, everybody knows who he is, blah, 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 blah. Because you know what? You don't need that all the time. Sometimes star power works. Sometimes it's not necessary. Sometimes it's better to just bring in a good actor. So, back to Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel is their first female lead movie. And I think Captain Marvel is the perfect choice for that. Because Captain Marvel as a character is a strong woman who has excellent powers and basically is one of these characters of, it's all about the right thing. And this allows another cosmic universe access to storyline, to things that exist beyond just the level of the planet, of Earth. Because Captain Marvel has always been about the Kree, and that's a whole alien race that's got some kind of involvement in Earth. And that then leads me to my favorite choice in this movie list coming up, the Inhumans.
Yes, I knew that one was coming.
I have been a big fan of the Inhumans. I have been watching them talk about an Inhumans movie coming along for the last 2 years. The opportunities for the Inhumans of characters is, okay, so you got your core seven or eight characters. You got Black Bolt, Medusa, Gorgon, Triton, Karnak, and a couple of others. Who's the dog? What's the dog's name? Lockjaw. And then Black Bolt's mad brother, Maximus. These are awesome characters because there are opportunities in there to develop and interact. It's a medieval-style king and queen cool out world, but the possibility of is you can have characters with any kind of special abilities, and they're not mutants.
Right.
But they've got all those superpowers, and they're just awesome. I am so looking forward to that one.
Well, isn't... I know one of the characters I mentioned in with the Inhumans, or had something to do with it, was Quicksilver, and isn't he supposed to be in this new...
He's in Age of Ultron.
Right.
Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
Right.
Magneto's son and daughter.
Okay, there's a storyline I missed.
Okay, did you not watch the X-Men movie?
The last one?
Yes.
No, I haven't.
Days of Future Past?
I have not seen it yet.
Okay. Technically, Pietro and Wanda Maximoff. Oh, look, Maximoff. Magneto. That's his name, Maximoff. So, yes, they're his son and daughter.
Well, I'll be.
But, and the relationship to the Inhumans is that Quicksilver is a friend, distant relative, or whatever, to Crystal. Crystal is Medusa's sister, niece, daughter, or something. I don't think she's daughter. She's part of the royal family in the Inhumans. We'll go with that. But I'm looking forward to the Inhumans. That makes me happy. And then, the capper, the bigger tease, the bigger, holy cowabunga, the Infinity War. Mm. Do we know what the Infinity War is in Marvel Universe?
Tell them. Do it.
You know, do you know?
You have to remind me, but it's because it's been a while since I remember that one.
Okay. Strong on Thanos.
Right. Oh, wait. This is the fight over the gauntlet.
This is the gauntlet.
Yes.
This is the fight about who will possess the gauntlet and the Infinity Gems and the whole power to shape, design, recreate, destroy, create, do anything to the entire freaking universe. In the comic book series, at one point, Thanos gets the Infinity Gauntlet, which is bejeweled with the Infinity Gems. With that power, he basically said, oh, yeah, half of everybody in the universe dies now. Boof. Half of everybody in the entire universe died with that one thought.
Right.
Do you know what kind of power that is? That is power. Arr! And as Clyde keeps yapping in the chat room, gauntlet, gauntlet, because he's read that, I'm sure. And that's the kind of storyline that cannot be done in one freaking movie, which is why I'm glad it's going across two movies. So it's going to be ending like a five-hour movie, essentially, part one, part two, and more than likely an extended edition on disc. 6 hours, like, dude, that's just going to make me happy.
Well, I think, and I'm hoping they get a darn good director for this and do it right, because...
I'm sure that's going to be Whedon. Actually, I don't know. Do they actually say who is...
No, I don't think they announced the directors for those yet.
Directing... Boom, 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 boom. They haven't officially said who.
But I mean, if he finishes off just all those films and they do nothing else Marvel, that dude's set for life.
Yeah, okay, they don't say anything about who's directing. But I'm sure that's going to be revealed shortly. Because if they continue doing the build-up in these slew of movies, the way that they've done Phase 2 with the Iron Man, Captain America, Thor movies, all of those movies have a dotted line tie slash a firm complete tie-in to the other movies, and they all led up to the Avengers movie, and then from the Avengers movie we have all these other lead-up movies that are leading into the same thing. Then we have the TV series, which is going to lead into some continuity cross-connection with those. And then we have the Netflix TV series, the Daredevil, Elektra, Luke Cage, Power Man, whatever it is, movie, and the possibility of a full-fledged Netflix Defenders movie. That's going to be freaking awesome.
But when are they going to do it?
Well, they're talking about it. I mean, it's like the snowball rolling down the hill. Little bit of time, little bit of time. So, oh my God, look at this shit. It's all over the place. And And that's what this week's announcement was with all of these movies. These movies, to me, represent the height of what Marvel can hope to achieve in content creation and entertainment industry, because what they're doing is they're bringing their characters to life more than just those of us who are the geeks who read the comic books.
Right.
Okay. Avengers movie appeals to a lot of people, not just comic book geeks. It's now appealing to people who like and enjoy entertainment.
Now, how many of these people know that this is happening and are going back on comic books to, I want to know the story again?
Not as many people as I would like.
You know, and I really would have thought that would have sparked that up.
But it doesn't. And I'll give you a perfect example is The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead TV series has increased sales of comics and trade paperbacks, but it's marginal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's only to the people who realize there is one.
Well, not only just that there is one, but the fact that there is that there's more to it than what you're just seeing on the TV.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Okay? I mean, there's much more depth to the Walking Dead series in the comic books because it spans a much longer history. I mean, the Walking Dead comic books have been out for 10 years, 11 years now. The TV series has only been out for 4 and a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, there's whatever, but the TV series is jumping large sections of what the Walking Dead comic book was. But it's also not the comic book, which is why I like what they're doing in the TV series. They're not trying to rehash the comics. They're trying to create let's take this character, we'll take some of these similar events, these little pinpoint prickles in history of that character, throw them in the TV series, but we will take that TV series slightly differently.
Right.
Because all of the characters in the TV series are not in the same places as they were in the comic book series. Like Andrea, she's dead in the TV series, but she's still very much alive in the comic book series. And another character's still the same thing. Some alive, some dead, some whatever.
Right.
And I would love to say that these movies will stimulate more interest in comic books, but the problem is comic book industry as a whole, reading individual comic books, people don't read as many of that as they used to. I still collect a lot of them, but I find more and more people are buying trade paperbacks and graphic novels instead.
Yeah.
Which has very little collectability behind it, because it's on unlimited print runs. They keep printing them until there's no demand.
Yeah, that is a sad fact. That's true. I forget about that.
So, I mean, I think there will be an increased interest. I mean, what I witnessed there a little while ago is that with the Guardians of the Galaxy movie out, wow, all of a sudden people want to buy Nova, Annihilation, and some old other Guardians of the Galaxy stuff. It's like, that's cool. But only a small handful of people did.
And so it's only like, the people who realize it's there, though, right?
Well, they probably read, hey, what was this? Where did this movie come from? Oh, look, there's a whole universe of information about this. Wow, there's a completely other different Guardians of the Galaxy franchise going on. Wow, let's check that out. And that's how that works. But for the most part, most people watching movies and TVs, they don't look into it any deeper than what they're just watching.
Mm.
Okay? I mean, I know some people who say, yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy, awesome movie, yeah. And then that's it. It's like, but dudes, there's more to it than just that. Where does What's-His-Face come from? Where does all that come from?
Right.
Yeah, I know. I'm watching the clock as well on mine. But, see, this is why you get into the little digression there in the middle. It's like, So, I just want to thank everybody else for coming out of the show, because we are now running to the very end of the show. And as you can probably tell, I'm very super excited about this whole slew of movies coming out. That's me saying, hey, cool. Come on out to the Facebook page on the After Rot. By all means, go there, share it, like it, do that fun stuff. Yada, yada, yada. Twitter, too, and all that other stuff. And by all means, come back again every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time and listen to me prattle on about all kinds of, hey, this could be very interesting to somebody, but it's very interesting to me. So, y'all, thanks, and come back again. And EW, thanks for being on the show again.
Yes, sir.
Of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their picnic.